today on Real Radio.
So many opinions, so many ideas about prophecy and the coming of God, the coming of Jesus Christ, and yet the truth out there is just kind of moseying along while all these rumors and lies about the end times are propagating.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul does not want the church to be ignorant concerning death. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we should also believe that the Lord will come again so we can be forever with Him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, and this is the reason, I think, why. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why God would have us study this book. But I got to tell you, I am so biased towards the remainder of this book that it's, well, I tell you, God has done a great work in my life, because before I was called to do what I'm doing right now, all I could do was eat, sleep, and drink prophecy. And I know that there's some people that go, oh no, oh, are we going to talk about that? Listen, yes, and I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen very carefully, because there's a reason why some people have their reaction like, oh boy, prophecy. And some people say, oh no, prophecy. There's a great reason why. There's an extreme on both ends. We need to understand that 1/3 of the Bible is dedicated to the prophetic revelation of God's heart regarding what we call the end time events. And we're living in those days. And we can prove that from the Word of God. Mark Twain said, though, concerning the truth, Mark Twain said, you've heard it before, that a lie can go around the world twice before the truth ever gets its shoes on. And I like that, because there's so much truth to that statement. When we look at the prophetic word, there are so many things running around. So many opinions, so many ideas about prophecy and the coming of God, the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet the truth out there is just kind of moseying along while all these rumors and lies about the end times are propagating. And it's no different than the church in Thessalonica. Interestingly enough, people were being told at that time that Jesus was not going to come back at all. And they were concerned about that. And then somebody would walk down the city and they would hear somebody saying, well, that's not true. The truth of the matter is, Jesus has already come back. And I find that interesting, because there's cults running around. And you'll ask that particular representative of a cult, what do you say about the return of Jesus Christ? They deny his bodily return. They first of all say, he's not coming back bodily. He's not coming back. Then there's some friends of ours who come on Saturdays with the little briefcases and a host of them. Sometimes family members, and they say, if you talk with them, if they're honest, they will tell you that Jesus has already come. In fact, if they're very honest, they'll tell you that he is. Are you ready? He is in Brooklyn, New York. I'm not kidding. He's in a secret place. They'll tell you this. Jesus said, if anyone comes in Matthew 24 saying that I'm in a secret place, believe them not. Somehow that passage escapes them. But it was given to you to know the truth. Why? There's a lot of rumors running around. But we are to know the truth about the coming of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus Christ is, and everyone, yes, is what? Is the spirit of prophecy. Wow. And so it's very important that we understand this, people, as we get into this Bible here, that the prophecies revealed in the Bible that have been fulfilled to date, are you with me? Have been fulfilled literally as they were written in the Word, not symbolically or metaphorically. Did you hear that? All of the prophecies that have been fulfilled to date in the Bible were fulfilled exactly as they were told, literally. Thus, we come away from the study of the Word of God prophetically, like any other study of the Word of God practically, understanding that God's Word was given literally to be understood. When it is in the Bible stated as a symbol, it literally says it. You just need to know the language. Example, when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, He descended upon Him like a dove. Not this dove. Although that's what the symbol is, the Holy Spirit's descent. The Bible says the Holy Spirit did not land on Him being a dove. The Bible does not say that a dove landed on Jesus when He came up out of the waters of baptism with John. It says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. Symbolic language. And it's like that throughout the book of Revelation and Daniel and Isaiah and other great prophetic scriptures. Like speaks of symbolism. So we need to understand that the Bible speaks literally concerning these things. Now, it's been said that we are living in the times of the end. That is true. The Bible says this. It's been said that we are living in the signs of the times. That's true. Or the times of the signs. Signs of the times, either way, it's true. But what is very important that we understand is that we are living in a time that we have been privileged to see precursors to what the signs of the times really shall be. And that is the great tribulation period that's to come upon the earth. Now listen. You need to realize this, that the Bible does speak about the end of the world. I need to tell you right up front, right now. Let's talk about it. But you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that according to the Bible unless there are things like this taking place. One of the things that you'd want to know, and Jesus said, and the Bible warned us, that the end would come only after and during things that would be transpiring, such as Israel ceasing to be a nation and then coming back as a nation again. That was a clue in the Bible. And by the way, no nation in the history of mankind has ever ceased to exist and then come back as a nation again. Not one. Did everybody hear that? Not one. You historians in the congregation this morning, go search and see. Not one nation in the history of mankind has ever ceased to be a nation and come back to be a nation and be recognized as a nation, except one, the nation Israel. You don't have to worry about the end of the world coming unless that's happened. Well, May 14th, 1948, it happened in one day in a UN resolution. The book of Jeremiah said that in one day they would be a nation. Someday, oh God, may they be a nation. He said one day. There'll be a nation. May 14th, 1948. You don't have to be concerned about the end of the world unless Israel would occupy Jerusalem again. Well, under the leadership of Moshe Dayan and Golden Meir, I remember this. 1967, I was a little guy, but I was committed to the Huntley and Brinkley report. Anybody remember Huntley and Brinkley? Remember that? You bet. Three, four of you. Hey, they raised the flag, the Star of David, over Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, in the War of June of 67. You don't need to be concerned unless the Soviet Empire would be fractured and split up. And that happened, of course, in 1989. And why is that important? Because the book of Ezekiel says, and I'm coming to it in a moment, that the Soviet Union would not invade the Middle East. It said some guys by the name who were led under the name of an ancient leader by the name of Rosh. who is root word tribal name to where we got the Roshans, or today the Russians, who live in the area of Meshach and Tubal. Meshach, the tribal root word that we find now of Moscow, and Tubal, Tobolsk. The people who dwell in the uttermost parts of the north of Jerusalem, Murmansk, Soviet Union, now Russia. Interesting. Isn't it interesting? All these things laid out in Scripture with great detail. You don't have to read something into it. You wouldn't have to be concerned about the end unless there would be a series of peace treaties made regarding the nation of Israel that, by the way, began in 1993 on the lawn of the White House. Interestingly enough, the Bible says that these peace treaties will fail, but there will be a man disguised as a man of peace that will commit to them the ultimate peace treaty, and we've been grooming the way right now, and it will happen soon. You don't have to be concerned unless, according to the book of Jeremiah, that Jerusalem would become the city of the focal point of the world and become, in fact, as Jeremiah puts it, Zechariah and all, a burdensome stone to the nations of the world. A city. Can you imagine a city becoming a burdensome stone to the nations of the world? You don't turn on the news today and say, and you see, you know, Tom Brokaw saying, the world is gathering together to see to it that peace and safety is ruling and reigning in Chino Hills. He says, Jerusalem. Jerusalem occupies a portion of the news nearly nightly. Isn't that amazing? These are little warning signs, you know. Isn't it interesting that the Scripture warns us about just before the end, there'll be a world currency collapse, that all of the currencies of the world will become meaningless and powerless, so that this man of peace is a man also of economics. Isn't that interesting? And he will usher in a monetary system because all the currencies will be belly up. They'll be worth nothing. And he will usher in a numerical, digitized, computerized value system. This was written 2,300 years ago in the Bible, referenced again in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that no man on earth will be able to buy or sell unless he has numeric values to his own account, which he carries not in his hip pocket, not in his front pocket or in a purse, but on his right hand or on his forehead, an electronic chip. It's in the Bible. Isn't it funny? These high-tech firms are just coming along with what's been written for thousands of years. Isn't that great? And then I mentioned that according to Ezekiel 37 and 38, for whatever reasons, it's kind of interesting. It's not exactly told. It says that Russia will think of an evil thought and will take its focus off of its own land and turn around 180 degrees and come into the land of Israel. Jesus simply said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. Isn't that great? But you might be saying, oh man, Jack, people have been saying that for years. I don't think he's coming. You're in the Bible. You are in the Bible. It says that he'll come back when people are saying, they've been saying it for years, he's not coming back. Jesus says, ha, in an hour you think not, I'll come back. Isn't that great? It's all bases are covered. Give up. Come to Christ. Get ready. Let's go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 13, Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that great stuff? Listen, Paul has been talking to us. If you've been here for the last few weeks, you probably haven't. Or maybe you have and you're not back here today. You're not even here listening to me right now. Paul was saying in the last several weeks, you need to kind of get your act together. If you're sleeping with somebody, stop and get home. Paul was saying, if you're going to walk around as a Christian and name the name of Christ, act like it. Be committed. He's warning that precious church that he loves to be ready to have a witness that is absolutely beyond reproach. He was calling us to be men and women of God. Why? For this right here. You see in verse 13, chapter 4, where it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. This word but is a conjunction. It's connecting what he has just said to us. But listen, here's what I'm saying. In the light of what I've just said, this is very important and in fact the reason. Don't be ignorant about this thing. And so everybody perks up and everybody listens. He's going to talk to them. First of all, you can jot it down in your notes. He's going to talk to them about death. Why is this the issue? Because the pagan religions of Thessalonica, we know this from archaeological discovery and history, they believed that the moment you died, you went into annihilation, nothingness. The Jehovah Witnesses teach that message today. If you're a Jehovah Witness here this morning, you know you can say, yeah, that's amen, that's true, that's what we teach. When you are dead, that is it. You're out. End of story. The pagan religions in Thessalonica said the same thing. But these believers had been told that there's a life after death. They had been told about the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is everlasting life. And they were upset. They were hearing this story about the pagan religions, that there's no hope after the grave. And by the way, listen carefully, that's why the word is used here, sleep or asleep. Don't be confused. Don't let somebody bushwhack you at your door. The references to the physical body. What Paul is saying is, hey, you guys, you've been hearing all this junk. Let me tell you the truth. Those who sleep in Christ, it's a reference to the body. Because the pagan religions in Thessalonica said, when you're asleep, you're temporarily out of commission. When you die, your body looks the same. Looks the same when you're dead. Looks the same when you're sleeping. Thus, we come to the conclusion that just like you're out when you're sleeping, you must be out when you're dead, non-existent, oblivious to what's going on. That's why Paul brilliantly used the word sleep. Because it looks like you're out when you're sleeping, but you're not out. Your spirit and soul is very much alive. But your body looks what? Looks dead. Some of us more dead than others when we sleep. Looks like you're dead. Sleep in the scripture never refers to the soul or the spirit ever, but some people will try to convince you otherwise, and it's not biblical. In verses 13 to 14, we see right here the hope of the church. So how should a church, and by the way, that's the title. Forgot to give that to you. How a church ought to go is a rapture. That's how it ought to go. Not burn out or bum out, but blaze out in rapture. So in verses 13 to 14, we see here that it's our hope. Watch this. We have a great hope today, people. He says, but I do not want you, verse 13, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. All these Thessalonians are weeping and crying, not for you guys. We have hope. This word ignorant is a very interesting word. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant means, listen, the will of the heart. To not know something, to intentionally ignore is the meaning of the word. Thus we get the word ignore. Ignoramus. Ignoramus. Seriously, it's rooted right here. To intentionally not know. By the way, the word is agnos, where we get the word agnostic. I'm an agnostic. Well, really, the word is, honestly, in the Greek, it's ignoramus. I am an ignoramus. That's what when somebody says, I'm an agnostic, It means that God is probably out there and could be known, but I refuse to know him. Well, that's real smart. I have more respect for an atheist than an agnostic. I mean, look in your dictionary. I am an ignoramus. You don't want to be an ignoramus. I am intentionally ignoring something that's available to me. And in this case, it is the existence of God. Paul says, I don't want you to be an ignoramus concerning the dead. How many of us know somebody who's dead? Raise your hand. Paul says, don't be dumb about what happens after death. That's the command of God. There are at least three things where Paul warns us in his epistles throughout the Bible not to be ignorant. Don't be uninformed of something. He tells us, do not be ignorant concerning demonic activity in your life. What is the church ignorant of today? Demonic activity. Paul says, don't be ignorant, church, concerning spiritual gifts. What is the church ignorant of today? Spiritual gifts. Paul says, church, don't be ignorant concerning the destination of the dead. And how many of us suffer with a lack or a loss of hope because we don't know what happened to them? Truth of the matter is, we don't know what the Bible says. We need to know, and we're going to know by the time we come through this. Very important. He tells us here, he says, don't be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Their sleep as a Christian, as a believer of the body, their bodies placed into the ground. But what Paul is going to show us is that that's not true concerning their spirit. James says in James 2:26 that the body without the spirit is dead. It is absolutely amazing and even a bit miraculous when you are at the bedside of a person who's dying. There's something very amazing about it. Now, it's wonderful to be near a Christian when they're going to the kingdom. There's a big difference. And in many of them, even how they die, the transition is striking. But for a moment's time, when a Christian dies, that body, according to James 2:26, the spirit leaves the body and the body's now dead. That body was only a tortoise shell, so to speak, for that spirit to dwell in. Or for the turtle. You know, the turtle lives inside the shell, you know. The shell's not the turtle. You can go out to the desert and find a tortoise shell, but where's the turtle? Well, probably in somebody's pot.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Thanks for listening, and please be encouraged. The pain and sorrows of this world are only temporary when you give your life over to the Lord. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org, it really is quite a resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything that is connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs. You can get real-life videos, real-life devotions, which you hear us mention from time to time. You'll get our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected Book of the Month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you know, if Real Radio is a part of your day and you're learning and growing as a result, why wouldn't you let Pastor Jack know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us, and the rest really is quite easy. Or if you'd like to send Pastor Jack a letter, that's real easy. Send it to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found, including our phone number, right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.